We live, we love, we serve.
I won't be long today, for real, for real. But I want to draw your attention to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 7. Just one verse today. And I pray that these words, this sermon speaks to us tonight, or rather today, in a very profound way. 2 Chronicles 15 and 7. And I'm reading today from the New International Version of Scripture, the NIV, a little different from what we're used to using, but I want to read from the New International Version, 2 Chronicles 15, verse 7. Here's how it reads. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. I'm going to read that again. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. I just feel like saying it again. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, we bless your name on today. We thank you, oh God, for how every day, if we just pay a little attention, we can actually see how every day you blow our minds. God, thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you for the glory in this day. Thank you for the love you've provided on this day. And we will continue, oh God, to honor you. Thank you, oh God, for the truth is every morning we rise, you give us new reasons to rejoice, new reasons to celebrate, new reasons to be grateful. We don't take that for granted. And the truth is, oh God, when we rise in those mornings with those new reasons to rejoice, to celebrate, be grateful, they have a way of overpowering the things from the prior day that did not work out. Morning by morning, new mercies we get to see. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, oh God, because our living, our breathing, our existence is a testimony that you still have us on your mind. Thank you, Lord. This is our prayer. In your name, we pray. And we say, amen. Amen. Let me read that passage again. 2 Chronicles 15 and 7. And it reads like this. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Amen. This morning, I want to speak from this subject. Hold on. Hold on. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. These words found in 2 Chronicles 15 are words that, well, truthfully, many of us could probably use hearing every single day. Be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. These are encouraging words. These are powerful words. But at the same time, they are words that can be hard to hear, especially when it seems like you've been strong, you haven't been giving up, but the rewards are not showing up. I've been in that space, and I'm sure I'm not the only one this morning who's been there, when you have been working and striving, you've been striving and working, hoping for a particular outcome, and the outcome does not arrive. Well, maybe it's not that it doesn't arrive. Maybe the issue is it doesn't arrive in our time. Maybe that's the real challenge. We think about all this. We think about the things we pray for, the things we pray about, the things we seek God for. Oftentimes, if we're honest, and I've said this before, oftentimes we pray, we seek, but in the back of our mind somewhere, there is a desired outcome lurking in the background. We want it to be a certain way. We want it to look a certain way. We are hoping that it manifests in a particular way, which means that truthfully, in that moment, at those times, we're not actually being open. We might be hopeful, but not open, because being open means that you don't hold on to prescribed expectations of what the seeking and praying ought to look like when God makes it manifest. Being open is different than wanting to construct an outcome connected to your desires. That's the difference. How many times have you experienced in your journey with God where you were seeking something, praying about something, but at the same time, you are hoping that the thing you were seeking God about, praying about, would come in a way that was most desirable to you? I know there's some of us in here who can testify about that, because I know in my life there have been times that I sought God, prayed to God, but in the back of my mind, my real desire wasn't praying with openness, seeking with openness. It was seeking and praying not with any expectation, but a particular expectation connected to the desires I had in my mind of what the best possible outcome could look like for me. Oh man, we do it all the time, and it's deep, because we do it in such a way that when sometimes that thing does arrive, that thing does show up, we get disappointed possibly because it doesn't come packaged the way we would have desired. And now we begin to question whether or not that thing we were seeking, the thing we were praying about, actually came to pass. Not because nothing happened, because what happened didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. That happens all the time, beloved. But here's the thing I've learned. I have learned, well, not just through trial and error, through living, that sometimes your seeking and your praying has to be earnestly connected to God and not your desired outcome. Because what I've learned and discovered in my life is that oftentimes the movement and mechanisms of God can move in such a way that it often manifests, fulfills what we were seeking and praying, but not connected to our desire, because our desires are connected to what we can see. But what happens when your desire connected to what you can see is a manifestation of your limited vision instead of what God may do. So what does it look like to work, strive, seek, pray, and be open to what God may want to do? Because I learned it this simple way, that we sometimes have this limited vision and we can see but so far. We can see, or rather our vision is limited again to the desire, and the desire may be attached to something connected that we think then it must look a particular way when God moves. But then because our vision is often not just narrow but limited, we can't always see the moves that God is responding to. Hold on. We think sometimes that God is responding simply to our seeking and praying. Here's where the Apostle Paul helps me, because he makes it clear in the New Testament that we don't always know what to pray for or how to pray, but then the Holy Spirit intercedes and interprets our groans and our moans in such a way that God responds to the activity of the Spirit and not the desires from your mouth. So that when God begins to respond and move, connected not just to the intervention of the Holy Spirit, but also connected to what God sees. You see, our vision is always limited. Paul Tillich said that with God, it is one eternal now. That in the current moment for God, it is past, present, and future in one moment. For us, it is always now. We linger on the past, hope for the future. But can you imagine when in one moment you can see all? That's God's perspective. So that you're thinking about your past, hoping for your future, but not seeing what's down the road, and God responds not to what you see, but to what God sees. And then God responds, and then you get discouraged. And somehow you then begin to question many things, but here's the one thing I've learned that happens. What happens when the seeking and praying and hope for and desire is connected to your dreams. What if you are saying to yourself, I'm believing this dream. I'm seeking to see what God has to say about what this dream is that God, and you believe God has given it to you, put it in your spirit. And so you begin to work towards the dream, seek the dream, hoping that the dream comes to pass. And God seemingly doesn't respond to the dream. Well, let me make more particular. It is not that God doesn't respond to the dream, because here's the other problem we have when we seek and pray. It may be that God is responding. The problem is you actually want God to capitulate to your timetable. That may be the real issue. Not that God doesn't respond to what you're seeking God for or praying about. But man, we wish then, here's the reimagined idea. We don't only want God to respond to what we seek or pray about. We want God to do it in a time frame that is convenient for us. That then makes us say, God, thank you. But how difficult is it to say thank you when you see no fruit from your aspiration? How hard is it to be grateful if the thing you're seeking and praying about connected to some dream that has been unleashed in your spirit is not manifesting? Oh, that's why I love this passage, 2 Chronicles 15:7. Because here's the scene, beloved. The king is Asa. He's the king of Judah. And Asa has been doing something that was critical for Judah at the time. He's seeking to move away from the idolatry of the past and the immorality of the past. And the king decides that the best way to advance ourselves is to bring our people, our nation, back into honoring God. Now, I know it sounds strange because these are God's people. But if you read the Old Testament, there were numerous times when God's people didn't always act like they were God's people. There were numerous times when God's people didn't always obey God, trust God, believe God. And there are so many stories in Scripture where the people of God who didn't always trust God, believe God, felt that in order to make manifest the dream that God had given them, needed and required their intimate assistance to help God bring it to pass. Now, this is a fine line because there are times in our lives when God is waiting for us to be participants in our breakthrough. That is true. There are moments in your journey where you must participate in the breakthrough. You can't sit back and just watch the dream. But here's the fine line. We are participants in the breakthrough, but we don't orchestrate God's participation. I hope you get that. There's a difference between playing your part and thinking you know God's part. Ah, there it is. When you begin to think that somehow you can't just play your part, but you think you know what God's part ought to be, so then your seeking and praying is not even genuine, because it's seeking and praying, believing that you know what's best for God, deciding what's best for you. Asa was leading the people back to God. My goodness. This was Asa's dream, to get the people of God back in alignment with God. That was the dream of the king. He had taken the reins at a time when Israel, or rather Judah, was far removed from God, and his dream was to one day see God's people back in relationship with God. I mean, when you feel, or rather no, well, no, when you feel like you're at a distance from God, and here's the thing, and it's the difficult part, when the distance between you and God is because of your activity, not God's desire. Oh, gosh. When you have to be honest and say, God, we're not like we used to be. That's easy to say. Part two, it's because of me. It's not you, God. It's me. Now, see, the deep thing in those moments, if you don't have the capacity to look at yourself and be honest about yourself, pause for a second, because that's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother sermon. Those people who have desires in their mind, who want to see certain things make manifest, but then they're oblivious to their own behavior and participation negatively in the situation. Oh, man, I hope I didn't move too fast on that one, because that hit me different. Okay, let me slow it down. Here it is. You're seeking God. You're seeking things out from God, praying about certain things, wanting some things to be manifest. And then what you want God to do is bypass your negative participation in the experience, and you become oblivious to the things you've done to undermine your own prayer and the things you're seeking about. And so you want God to then overcompensate for your inability to be honest with your own self. You don't want to be honest with yourself, but you want God to bypass your dishonesty and start moving in a way that all of a sudden you say, all things work together for good. This is true. But you got to be honest and say, there are some things that ain't working together for good and ain't got nothing to do with God. It has to do with me. Because it's dangerous to seek God to clean up what you are afraid to admit you messed up. There is the issue. You don't want to be honest about what you've done, but want God to come play cleanup without being honest. Oh, God, that was for somebody. You can't be honest about how when you put your hands, you tainted it, but then you want God to bypass that. It is not that God cannot fix it, that God cannot do it. And here's a deep thing. It's really deep when the fixing and the doing is disconnected from your own desire. Oh, man. Okay. I don't know where this is going for somebody, but you got to get this. You want God to fix it. You want God to clean it up, but you can't take responsibility for your negative participation in it. You can't own what you've done. You can't be honest about who you are. And that's when the pathology really gets deep, because what does it say about you when you want God to treat you honestly, but you can't be honest with yourself? Asa wanted God's people to get back to a place where they can actually live into who they were. What does that mean? Asa was the king of the southern kingdom of Judah, the land of praise. How genuine can your praise be when it is riddled with your own dishonesty? Something about your praise then becomes performative when it is absence of honesty. And here the people, in the way they were acting, were disassociating from their identity because they were God's people, but weren't acting like it very much. They were God's people, but weren't trusting God. How do you know? Because Asa inherited a people and a kingdom that had strayed from God. And the king's desire, here it was, here's the dream, was to see the people fulfill their identity again and truly be the people of praise from the land of praise, connected to who God was in their lives. That was Asa's dream. But like some dreams, as I shared, oftentimes, when they do not make themselves manifest in the time that we think they ought to be, instead of looking at ourselves, we begin to question, was the dream right? Was what you were seeking God about right? Was what you were praying about right? Why? You begin to question everything about your seeking and your praying because of the delay and the arrival of the dream. Maybe it is the right dream. Maybe you are seeking God for the right thing. Maybe you are praying about the right thing. But don't you dare start questioning necessarily if it's the right thing, especially when you know you've been honest, but you've been impatient. You've been honest. You've done the introspective retrospection. You've looked in and you've looked back and you are honest, but you thought that all that was required was your honesty and not your patience. Yeah. Now God says, wait, because it ain't time yet. What do you do? This is real old. This is nothing new. You've heard this tons of times, but I want to raise it again. What do you do when you begin to think that blessings delayed are blessings denied? What do you do when what you've been seeking God about, praying God about, is not arriving in a timely fashion that would be convenient for you? What happens? What do you do? Well, God sent the prophet Azariah to King Asa. And Azariah said many things, but you know what Azariah said to Asa? Verse 7 of the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Keep your courage. Don't give up, because you will be rewarded. That word comes right on time, just at a time where Asa was about to get discouraged because his dream wasn't happening. The people weren't necessarily immediately falling in line. And he began to question the intentions behind his dream just because it wasn't happening. And God doesn't leave Asa out there alone. He sends the prophet to give him a word. Maintain your courage. Be courageous. Don't give up. Keep working, because you will be rewarded. Oh my God, those words must have felt like an oasis in the desert of expectation. When you sit there waiting for God to move and you finally get it, no, you're not wrong in what you want to see. The dream is not problematic. In fact, pause for a second again. Wait a minute. What beauty is it when you discover for that moment, or the day you discovered, that your dream was actually in alignment with God's desire for you? Oh my God, I hope I'm helping somebody here. Can you imagine what you feel? Because the prophet doesn't tell Asa, you're dreaming the wrong dream. Something's wrong with what you want to see. He was told, actually, what you want is in alignment. Just keep on working. Be courageous, because you will be rewarded. I'm going to tell you right now, at that moment, your joy is not for the realization of the dream, but your real joy ought to be that you are in alignment with God's dream and desire for your life. I hope you can get it. I hope I'm saying it right. Because what do you feel in that moment, that grand, glorious moment when you come to the realization? It may not be every time. It may not be on everything. But on that one thing, when you realize, God, we're on the same page. Oh, my goodness, God. What I'm dreaming for myself is in alignment with what you desire for me. There is nothing more powerful and profound. Yeah, I said in the beginning, what happens when God shatters your dream? Because God's dream is bigger than you. But what happens when your dream is so big that it's in alignment with God? Oh my goodness, I hope you catch that today. That let me say it again. It is one thing when you experience shattered dreams because your dreams ain't big enough. But what happens when your dreams are real big? I mean big, scary, terrifying, but not scary and terrifying enough to stop you from pursuing. And then one day, God makes it clear and says, you know what? Well done. You have not been held captive by the misstep of being too small in your aspirations. That you actually are now dreaming God-sized dreams that are in alignment with what God wants for your life. And God doesn't say, let it go. I've been there. My God, there's nothing more overwhelming to the spirit when God says, let that dream go. I'm telling you, I'm not going to make that discernment today. But I'm going to tell you right now, when those moments when you've been holding on to something for a long time, and then God says, yeah, it was good then, but it ain't good now. And let it go. But can you imagine? Now, let me pause. I've had more of those moments in my life. But when you actually begin to let your imagination run free without fear or intimidation, you begin to dream big dreams, God-sized dreams. God will come in and let you know, good, you're in alignment with me. Let's now move forward. Not move forward trying to hurry God up, but move forward with the dream. Stay courageous. Keep working. Don't give up, because reward is coming. You know, this past week, many of us had the opportunity to watch the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. And we were watching it. And of course, there's excitement behind the idea that Kamala Harris could be the president of the United States. Because the truth is that she represents so many dreams of so many of our ancestors. Now, let me be more particular. So many Black women who have labored and hurt and cried and suffered and were unrecognized and didn't get credit and were overlooked. She is the manifestation of dreams by women, female ancestors, Black strong women who, because of the circumstance and the social climate, could not imagine being in position. I hope we fully embrace this moment, beloved, that we are at a historic moment again. And it hasn't taken a long time to be here again. I hope you get that. That it has not been 100 years to be here again. That it has been less than 20 years to be here again. But what blew my mind is not the fact that Kamala has a dream and had a dream to be president. But I gotta believe that dream started a long time ago. You don't wake up one morning and say, I wanna be president. You carry that in your heart and you trust the path. Can you imagine? I want you to catch how God moves in case you're worried about timing, because you know what I learned is that sometimes you could be struggling with something for years and in an instant God can turn it around and make you forget about those years of struggling. That God can move so quickly, so intensely, that you forget about all the times when you were worrying about whether it would come to pass, and when it comes to pass, it's so overpowering that you forget the years you cried about it at night. You forget the times you were worried about it. It comes to pass. Can you imagine? I got to use Kamala as the example. 16 years ago, she's knocking on doors for Barack Obama. She's campaigning, passing out materials for Barack Obama. I had to believe that somewhere along that line, 16 years ago, she began to wonder, what if I was president one day? See, because you don't have to ever see it to believe it's possible. And she was doing that. And what was she doing? She went from district attorney. She then moved on to attorney general for the state. She then moved on to be what? To be senator from her state. Then she had high aspirations. She said in 2020, this is my moment. And here's the key you got to get. She decided to run for the Democratic nomination to be president of the United States. She aimed and shot for the stars 4 years ago and fell short, but she became vice president. That's a lesson for somebody. I learned this a long time ago, that when you shoot for the stars and you fall short, you're still in the heavens. You still are above everything else. And so here it is, still holding on to the dream. Now you got to understand, this is the part you got to hear me. I could imagine when Kamala was passing out those materials and maybe had dreams of being president, she couldn't imagine the scenario or the situation that would lead to her to be the nominee. See, y'all ain't with me this morning. You got to hear this. That 4 years ago, she went through primaries and lost. 4 years later, no primary was necessary. You missing this today. That 4 years later, she becomes, through chance, through situation, well, some folk going to say chance, other folk going to say providence. Through providence, she now walked into something that she tried to walk into 4 years ago. But this time, when you walk in at God's timing, it ain't never hard to do. You just got to be what? Open and ready to move into place. See, this is what I learned a long time ago. Preparation ain't always for your plan. Whoa, you'll get that later. Sometimes preparation is for a plan you don't even know about. Getting ready for a moment you can't see. Holding on to a dream when the ways you thought you would achieve it are then thrown to the side. And God says, watch this. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm now going to make you ruler over many. Enter into this season of being the nominee. You'll get that later when you get home. Here it is. She is now poised for the fulfillment of her dream that didn't come when she wanted it, but came when it was necessary. Can you imagine? that she walks into this moment and all she had to do was be open and prepared. And all of a sudden, new energy, new life is coming. Because I'm going to say it again, when your dream is delayed, don't mean your dream is denied. It just means there may be another way that God sees to see come through. So here it is, beloved. I'm speaking to the folk right now who think that it's a long time. If you ask Kamala, she will tell you, them 16 years ain't that long. Heck, I've been here 20 years. And it don't feel like it's been 20 years. Especially when you're walking in alignment with what God desires for your life. So what do? For those of us who are in that space, you're dreaming big, but you ain't arrived yet. What do you need? What does it take to hold on? Well, it ain't hard, it's simple, and I'll be done. One is something that I learned a long time ago. It's called perseverance. It is called not letting the mishaps or the situations that seem to negatively work against you define you. It is when you realize, wait a minute, because it did not come to pass this way, don't drop the dream. I'm talking to myself right now. I don't know who else I'm talking to. It means that when the things you wanted, that you've been seeking about, praying about, don't manifest or don't come the way you think they should, don't drop the dream. Don't let it go until God says so. I'm going to tell you right now, I've experienced that where I held on until God said, no, let it go. If you ain't get the let it go from God, don't drop it. Oh, God, you'll get that. If you don't hear from God saying, abandon that, don't let it go. Why? Can I get church again? Because blessings delayed are not blessings denied. Persevere, beloved. Hold on with tenacity to the very dream you have been holding on to. I gotta tell you, because watch this. Here's your dream here. Here's all the situations that come that can upend your dreams. The things you didn't see coming, the unexpected tragedy, the unexpected difficulty, the unexpected challenges, the unexpected sufferings. All those things are right here, but your dream is right here. And if all those things are happening, but God has not said abandon the dream, then look at those things are part of the preparation. Look at those things are part of the maturation you need. Look at those things are the building moments to get you ready for the arrival in the place that God has orchestrated for you. Perseverance. And then here's the real one. Perseverance plus patience. Oh God, I alluded to this earlier, but I hope you catch it. Perseverance plus patience. Hear what it says. I'm not going to give up, but I know it may take some time. Oh God, I'm not going to let the things that come my way deter me, but I'm not going to let the things that come my way make me believe that that dream ain't mine. That's the patience. Because sometimes the time is necessary. Necessary. What if it takes time, not for the dream, but for you, the dreamer? Oh, you missed that part. Let me say it again. The time ain't for the dream. The time is for the dreamer. You need the time. Maybe you need to grow a little bit. Maybe you need to learn a little bit more. Maybe you need to realize some things for yourself. Maybe your dream is big and your dream is in alignment with God. But you are not in alignment with the dream. Oh gosh, you'll get that. I'm gonna say it again. The dream is big. The dream is in alignment, but you are not in alignment with your own dream. And so God has to cultivate you to get you ready for the arrival. Oh, God, can you imagine? Wait a minute. God is preparing my steps for the arrival of the dream. Hold on. No, let me get this right. God's preparing my steps for the arrival of the dream? No. God is preparing your steps for your arrival to the dream. Oh gosh, there's a difference. It is not God is preparing the dream, preparing you. for the arrival to the dream. Oh God, that changes everything. When you realize that sometimes the delay is connected to your preparation, here's what you say: God, whatever you need to do with me to get me ready for the arrival, do it, God. Whatever you need to remove from my life, do it, God. Whatever has to shift within me, do it, God. Whatever growing up I got to do, whatever expansion I need to do, whatever subtraction needs to happen, God, whatever it is necessary for me to be ready for the arrival to the aligned dream, do it. Because I've learned enough in my life. That's what trust is. Trust is when you can say these words. These are churchy words. Hear me. These are words we said, we heard in church, we didn't understand. And now we understand, we get a little bit older, and we heard our grandmama say it, and we heard our mother say it. We didn't always understand it. But you see, when you live long enough, you understand some things. You understand that, one, I said it again, the dream delayed ain't the dream tonight. But then you then begin to realize that it ain't the dream's issue. I may have the issue. And so God has to get me ready for the dream. And then when you really understand it, when you really understand it, you start saying things like this in your testimony: God, any way you bless me, any path you take me down, any way you lead me down, I will be satisfied. Perseverance plus patience equals preparation. Perseverance plus patience equals preparation. You sitting here right now thinking somehow that you, well, that the dream ain't gonna come and it may not happen. Change your perspective. Shift your attitude. Get in alignment with that big dream. And when you can do that, here's what you'll say when you finally arrive to the dream: God, thank you for an on-time arrival. Thank you, God, because now I'm really in a position to enjoy the thing I've been dreaming about. I'm ready. I'm ready. That's when you say, God, thank you. Because when I dreamed, or rather when I dreamt the dream, I thought I was ready for the fulfillment of the dream. Just because you dreamt it don't mean you're ready for it. It's like when God puts the dream here and you begin to wonder, God, how can I get it? God says, I'm going to grow you into it. I'm going to grow you into the dream. And so what happens, those years, those months, when you think it's taking a long time, you don't even realize that the dream got closer and closer. Because what? You kept on growing. And what seemed here pretty soon gets here. Not because the dream lowered to you, because you rose into the dream. God, thank you for putting a crown above my head and then giving me room to grow into it. Thank you. Thank you. So, beloved, what's the word? Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. You're on your way. You're on your way. Sometimes it's hard to smile when the wounds are fresh. But my God, it's easier to smile when the wounds are healing. Because you know you are on the way to your healing. God is preparing you. Maybe that ought to be not the plea. Maybe that's your own personal pep rally. God, thank you for this season of preparation. You're preparing me. You're preparing me. Because here's what is the beauty. When God and the dream and you are all in alignment, here's how I learned to say it. It does not yet appear what you shall be. It does not yet appear what you shall be. Come on, beloved, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, God. God, thank you for this necessary reminder today. Because God, you know that many of us who grow to the point where we dream terrifying dreams, thank you for the reminder that for us to arrive to the dream takes perseverance, takes patience. And when perseverance and patience have their way, we will be prepared. God, thank you. Thank you. Because God, that formula is a way that stops us from second guessing the dream. That formula is a way to keep us trusting, not in the dream, but in the journey, the process. And God, sometimes that journey is tough. Sometimes that process can be excruciating, but my God, the arrival is breathtaking. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, we love you. We honor you today. It's in your name we pray. And we say, amen. Amen. Amen, beloved. Listen. Thank you for joining us this morning for the FCBC worship experience. I pray that something that you felt, that you experienced, that you heard was a blessing to you today. And for somebody who needed this word today, don't forget these two words. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. God is preparing you for the arrival. Until next time, beloved. Much love. Peace and many blessings. Have an amazing remainder of your Sunday. God bless.